Welcome to GMB Radio. This is Chris Towns speaking. And you are now tuned in. I'm here with the one and only John Cross. And how you doing today, sir?
I'm all right. Hello, people.
Ask you a few questions while we smoke. You know.
Sounds good to me.
That boy is Benny
Hana. How long you been rapping?
Wrote my first rap October 8th grade, so that would have been 1998. It would be 20 years this year.
20 years?
20 years.
Ooh.
I'm 13, 33.
Man, that's a long time.
I lost a lot, most of my rhymes. I used to keep all of them. I used to keep them pretty, like a pack rack to keep rhymes and stuff.
You started off, started writing on papers?
I wrote my first rhyme. It was a long ass poem. You know, like I took what I knew about writing poetry and just applied it to writing some of the most hard, violent shit I ever wrote. I called it a rap. It was about 2 pages long. And then from there, you know, I realized I was about to learn song structure and how to put it to a beat. So I would rewrite the lyrics to some of my favorite songs that I was listening to personally by going to the library, downloading like the sheet of the lyrics printed out, and learning 16 bars and rewriting my 16 bars basically off of that.
Man, you had to go back.
Yeah.
Like, you,
90s kid, man.
Yeah, 90s baby, huh?
90s kid. I was 5 in the 90s, yeah. Four or 5 years old, so yeah, I grew up in the 90s. I was born in the 80s, but I grew up in the 90s.
What can we expect? Shall we say, you know, this year?
This year? Struggle Raps Volume 1 and 2. I'm trying to get a threesome package going with that.
A threesome package.
Hey. But, you know, I'm going to have my 1 and 2 tapes, and then I got some people I'm working with. Hopefully, they'll bring the 3rd tape to the table. And we can move forward like that through some videos. Got a name up here. I've worked with people before, man, and, you know, 20 years is a long time. It's not that I ain't done nothing, but
man.
I believe the people I worked with before weren't the right people.
Yeah, you got it still any animosity or, you know, any anger or anything towards still
hanging? But I realize the blessing in life is that you move on and if you really about what you say you about, the right people are going to come to you eventually and they're going to be the ones who matter at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah. I feel that for sure.
Because the people I started rapping with, you know, they, not only are they not still rapping, they probably, you know, because of their life situations or their contacts or their connects, they wouldn't know where to start if they wanted to. Like on a serious level, you know what I'm saying? I said, that's what I'm recording in my basement. But I know once I get some serious product I'm ready to push, I know the right people to get it to. Overnight.
You think you're going to be rapping for the rest of your life?
Man, at this point, I'm so hungry for it, and I put so much into it, I know I'm going to be rapping until I, quote unquote, make it, no matter what level that's on, just to the point where I can eat, you know, get some nice bread, even if it's like part-time job bread off of my heart, you know what I'm saying? That's my goal, I'm going to achieve that goal, but, shit, nigga, if I motherfucking hit it big like everybody want to, who am I to say I'm going to stop in 10 years just because I'm 43? Jay-Z been successful and ain't had a taste to stop yet. That motherfucker, you know, he could legitimately be tired of this shit. He been doing this. If I compare my life and his life, like, I would be on the Blueprint 2 right now. He had 5 albums before that. You know what I'm saying? He was getting that bread. You know, so.
There's no way to stop it.
You know what I'm saying? So if I'm still love it like that. I think where I see myself going and really developing, I did not talk to Peter.
Yeah, you did.
But is is really wanting to produce other people more and make good music with other people, because everybody got a story to tell.
Man, you feel like
and what I love is just quality rap and quality, you know, and more so quality soul music. There's a soul music quality, you know what I'm saying, that goes from jazz to blues to R&B, that even in the rap, you know what I'm saying, people telling their story and really getting it out there over good music. And I think honestly, a rapper is the best person to ever say it, because singers, you know, gotta make it poetic and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But a rapper can get straight to the point for 16 straight lines. And the more creative he is with how he expresses it, it just makes it all the more fun. I don't hate on nobody mumble rappers, screaming rappers. It might not be for me, you know what I'm saying, but it can get that shit off the way you want to get it off. I think my only beef would be with it. I just have to say it would be with how the industry hypes up different shit based on what motherfuckers do outside of the booth.
Yeah. You feel like you would, if anybody try to take it further than rap, you know, right off, would you, you know, is you more of a stick to the business type, or don't let a nigga try me?
As far as what?
As far as
outside the booth shit?
Inside, you know, you make a song that somebody that don't like you.
Well, first of all, there's in the booth beef where you might have a competition, you know, or be a competitive edge with a motherfucker. Mm-hmm. But y'all still get on the same tracks. You know what I'm saying? Every now and then. You know what I'm saying? Just to let the people know, or just to try out different energies. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's like,
you know everybody.
Now, if I got a problem with one of these industry niggas to the point where I can't go to a war show because I'm going to, do some Tupac-ass shit, then that's a problem. Because at this point, I feel like I'm coming to the game on some grown-ass shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I might say I want to slap straight, but do I really want them problems on a legal level? No.
Not on a
physical level. On a physical level, probably. On a legal level, no. Because that nigga's going to be the type of nigga to call the lawyers once my uncle starts shooting at him.
Start making that money.
Yeah. That's what he's supposed to do. Because all the rest of that shit is ignorant. Like, who wants to die? Just because you don't like the way a nigga looks on camera.
Like, who wants to die for that?
Who wants to kill somebody for that?
That's good.
I had a long time to think about the game. I ain't no kid trying to get in this shit.
Got one more thing for you. One more quick question.
It's good. I feel like this. I've been interviewed before. You know what I'm saying? Underground nigga shit. I've had about 4 or 5 interviews. You're doing great.
This one gonna get you. Right. I'm gonna stop the beat.
Musical.
Uh-huh. Right. Gotta get this one. Who would you say inspired you the most? And why?
Artistically,
and I want to know the person, mm-hmm. You know, and it can be artistically and
outside of that.
Outside the box.
Are you talking about as a rapper? Or just as a person in general?
You can say, now for example, you can say Martin Luther King,
mm-hmm.
outside the box, and you can say a rapper inside the box.
Okay. I'm going to give you two things. I'm going to give you my top 5 rappers and why. But I'm going to give you that last because that's kind of boring. First of all due respect to Martin Luther King, because my father claimed to know and grow up with him. So he was always pushing Martin Luther King, how great he was, great of a man he was, and how they were friends, and and how he was really about all the kind of stuff. And you grow up with whitewashed version of who Martin Luther King was. Like, he was just all kind of like, let's get along, nigga. Where he was really more about, you know, black people deserve justice in America if America is claims to be what it is on its constitution. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? He was the first black man to stand up and really say that. And you couldn't take anything away from him because he was a preacher in the community. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Well respected man.
You know what I'm saying? He's from a good family and all that kind of stuff. Second generation preacher, I do believe. So, he was a huge influence on my life. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't stress that enough because I guess a lot of black people don't grow up with that. You know what I mean? A lot of people in general don't grow up with that. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they might or they might not. But because of who my father was, you know what I'm saying? It was forced down my throat. So, you know what I'm saying? So, on a level, he wasn't, because I have like this anti-Martin Luther King thing, because on a basic level, it's like, oh, that's my dad's, you know, dude. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I grew up and like studied Malcolm X and all different kinds of black leaders, you know, trying to run away from that. Like some people run away from different religions and stuff. That was really my focus. I just kind of like fell out of, you know, hardcore Christianity as far as religion goes. But yeah, as far as that was my, what I ran from Martin Luther King hard. Like, oh my God. You know what I'm saying?
Gotta get away.
You know what I'm saying? I gotta breed anybody else that's black other than Martin Luther King, because I didn't heard it all about him. So, you know what I'm saying? Not in a disrespectful way, just right, because, right. You know what I'm saying? Corrupt. Man, yeah, my dude. Yeah. My dad's dude. But, and I've named, you know, Malcolm X and all that kind of stuff. I don't want to say, the two people who got me into hip-hop, and I unequivocally, are Jay-Z and Puff Daddy. I can't say anybody has been more influential than them on me personally.
And why?
From a business standpoint, because that's what really made me fall in love with the idea of what I wanted to be as a person. You know what I'm saying? As far as a career-wise. You know what I'm saying? So, because really, my first favorite rapper was Biggie. And that's my, if I'm going to name my top five, dead or alive, that's the number one's going out right there. So, when I listened to Biggie and I realized he was dope, and then I realized, because I kind of grew up and I came into music right when Puffy released his album. So I listened to Puffy and then I went back and made sure I got all of Puffy shit. I mean, Biggie shit.
Right.
Because I knew who Biggie was, but I'm talking about like I own this shit and I'm listening to it every day now. You know what I'm saying? Because it was hard to get CDs back then. This was before the download era. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and then they got them stickers on them. So your mama ain't buying them for you. You know, you got to figure out it was contraband. You know, hip hop was contraband when I grew up, bro. Like, for real. That's what you gotta. That's why we love this shit. That's why our generation, like, y'all kind of like, oh, y'all be tripping about. No. We love this shit because it was contraband. In a strong black household, you did not let your kids get that shit. You know what I'm saying? Until they were at least 16, 17 years old. You know what I'm saying? And you had to loosen up on them. But if you were, you know, my age, 10 or 11 years old, you trying to get it.
Man.
Unedited. Don't buy me that edited. No, it don't sound the same. And then once you really get into the album cuts and there's every other word is nigga, you really ain't hearing nothing. You know, you want to hear it. Contraband. The kids were in the school whose parents didn't care. They got it. They were cool for real. Like CD cases full of, oh, you got the unedited? Let me hear your shit. Your shit come up missing. You can't, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's hip hop, contraband, bro. Like, we loved our generation, the 90s babies, love that shit. Like, I mean, 90s kids, I gotta stress kids, but you know, because you're the babies, because you grew up after Napster, so it's easy to get it. Yeah. And everybody's got it, and so at that point, hip hop is 15, 20 years old, so people are kind of lax on it now, because, you know, you got Nelly on Britney Spears songs, and he's saying niggas sometimes, you know what I'm saying, so it's different, you know what I'm saying, than 96, 95, when you're trying to get it, and it's hot, and it's new, and they still got people trying to boycott it, and they rolling over it in the streets, you know what I'm saying,
ooh.
Contraband.
Yeah. See, my era was a little bit
different. Yeah, you was born then, but you didn't see it.
Man, so.
Puff Daddy and Jay-Z, because I respect, you know, just their business, and I saw the development of, you know, who they became. So I had to say, if there were two people alive that I had to say, you know, I had to shake their hand and say, you're the reason I got, you know, be here. And I respect Russell Simmons, you know what I'm saying? But I had to study them, you know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, Russell is the dude to put Jay on, okay? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But when I came up and saw, oh, Jay-Z raps and owns his own label, and, you know, and they doing just as good as, you know, Puffy is before, you know? But you know what I'm saying? And then you understand that nobody wanted to sign Jay when he first came out, like, because he, you know, was kind of corny. you know what I'm saying, on the underground tip, you know what I'm saying? But when he made Reasonable Doubt and told him his real story about, you know, how he was hustling, that shit was a hit. And they put it out to himself. He got that bread. And then Def Jam signed him. And then it was over. And I still wasn't hot. Like, somebody tried to sell me Volume 1 for, like, $5, or, like, lunch money. And I was like, nah, I don't know about Jay-Z. I'm gonna eat. Because we was going on a trip, you know what I'm saying? It was like McDonald's money, you know what I'm saying? Man. I don't know about him. I'm going to give him my McDonald's money to Jay-Z, bro.
And now, you
I would have bought that shit in a second. Nah. Volume 1, one of my favorite Jay-Z albums.
Nah,
I respect RZA, too. I got to put RZA up. That's like my third, dude. Because to get 9 motherfuckers from the projects that are all half crazy... Talking about Wu-Tang, and to make a group that it like really changed, like the definition of underground hip hop is the Wu-Tang Clan. Like, you know, right. what I'm saying, you can say a lot of people are different types of pop, you know, rappers, or even guys who came up from the underground that were like pop rappers, like Master P. Like, you know, Master P was a blinged out dude, and Cash Money, they came from the underground. You can't take it, but they were all blinged out. You know, they were kind of mainstream values. Right. Wu-Tang is all about the rhymes from day one to day forever.
Yeah, till now.
Till forever. All about the rhymes. Like, we didn't got our money and blinged out with the best of them, but we kept the rhymes hard, you know what I'm saying? The beats banging, you know what I'm saying? Man. So that's the definition. And they're like the standard, like, you know what I'm saying? If you make music that sounds like is as good as almost, you know, it came from, you know, the chambers of the Wu-Tang, you're going to be all right on the underground market. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
You need to go to somebody's lyricist lounge or whatever's hot at that night and get your shit off because somebody's going to buy it.
And that's the way you can come up?
Yeah.
Man. This world's crazy, man.
But yeah. I just have to say, those are my top 3 hip hop influences, Puffy, Jay-Z, and RZA. That was my favorite, like, New York, you know, dude that I came up on.
Man.
I think Dr. Dre is a genius, but, you know, I was never a big N.W.A. head, you know, Death Row head. You know what I'm saying? I always respected Dre's music, but I always thought he associated himself with bad, you know, people. You know what I'm saying? That's how I kind of came up thinking, like, why don't Dre? And then when he finally got Eminem, Dre finally got his own shit, but it was the white boy.
But he's nice, but the white boys,
I was an early Eminem fan. I will never take that back. I was the only dude on the bus. Everybody else was listening to 400 Degrees. At this point, you know what I'm saying, Volume 2 was kind of old. You know, DMX's albums were kind of old. So it was like, you know, the spring, and you were kind of like catching up on the shit from last year you didn't listen to. Some people were listening to Outkast shit. Equimini. They was that third album. And then... I was on 400 Degrees as soon as I heard it, but I hadn't heard it yet. Like, the white boy next door to me, like, well, he was my best friend. He got the Eminem shit, and he let me hold it. And I took it to school, and I was like, man, this white boy crazy as fuck, but he's been riding his ass off. You know what I'm saying? Because the early Eminem, he was, you know what I'm saying? Nothing made sense. Like, what is he talking about? But damn, it all rhymes.
Man, but it's going to whole stories and whole. Like, God.
I was an early Eminem fan. I didn't really fall off of Eminem as a fan until after he signed 50. I think 50 made Eminem's whole shit corny. Honestly, I always thought 50 was... I was an early 50 fan. I was a fan on 50, because if you go back and listen to the 50 Cent mixtapes before he got signed, a lot of them songs were just jokes. Like, you know how funny 50 is? Like, they were like, you know what I'm saying? They were remaking songs and telling jokes on them and making the rhymes work. And I was like, oh, man, this dude is, you know, it's gangster rap, but it's funny. And then, you know, after he got signed, they made it so hard. And he on the thing with chest out and the Vaseline all over him and bullet holes. And I was like, dude, this is just what? Man. And they kept it going for so long. I was like, and then Eminem tried to be harder, and it was just... It was a lot. And then they ended up getting, and I feel like that's the energy that got Proof killed, honestly.
Damn.
And this is I'm just giving you some shit in the interview now, you know what I'm saying? That's the energy I feel like got Proof killed, honestly. Like, I don't say he deserved, and I don't feel like he deserved it. No, Proof definitely deserved it. R.I.P. Proof. But I feel like that's the kind of shit, you know what I'm saying? That happens to you. You start, you know, trying to be all gangster and
Right. And then,
who knows how he's carrying himself out in the streets of Detroit?
Man, it's a lot of people.
It was pulling up on who they have beef with. Royce the 5'9". You know, they cool now, but he had beef with Royce back then because Royce felt like he had been left out.
Man, I'm surprised he didn't.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And it came close. If you go back and watch them beef DVDs, they came close, man. I ain't saying nothing. They didn't ain't on record.
Right.
I'm just giving my opinion. It's a head, man.
That's crazy, though.
Yeah, but I've been really getting on other on Southern rappers now that I'm an older man, like from the 90s that I missed out on, because there were so many Southern rappers putting out underground tapes, you know what I'm saying? And now that Southern rap is hot, you can go back and listen to it, and that country shit has always kind of like been hot, you know what I'm saying? I ain't heard too many Southern rappers underground, even if I never heard the song before, that the shit wasn't, they wasn't kind of onto something. Yeah, so it wouldn't be too complicated or nothing. You know, so you can hear some whack New York rap from back in the day. Somebody trying to do too much or too hard, be too, you know, super lyrical, with the rhythm.
That sound like one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Migos track. Even though they hard, what you know.
Oh, no. Hey. I like the Migos. I think the Migos, I prophesied the Migos. I spoke them into existence. And I think it's funny that my niece grew up with them.
Yeah.
I also spoke with them I really got to listen to Beastie Boys and their albums, and I realized, you know, their style kind of, you know, got to be too, you know, wiggity.
Yeah.
After a while, you know what I'm saying? If they'd have stuck with Def Jam, it might have been better off for them or whatever. But, I was like, man, if a new, you know, group of three young niggas came out and really flipped and came out and were in tune like the Beastie Boys used to be in tune, they would be dope.
Man.
And then straight up out of Atlanta, straight up out the bando.
Bing, bing.
Relatives. The only way it could happen, uncle, nephew, best friend.
And now making millions.
Yeah, I love them.
Man.
I love them. I don't like Cardi B. I don't like the Cardi B cool with them. I think that's the dopest shit to happen in the game. I think hip hop's really alive because of that right there. That's keeping the game alive right there. That's beautiful. And Jay Z and Beyonce, obviously,
fucking
lifeline.
It's not even.
Puffy's doing all right. You know what I'm saying? He got his little Ciroc and everything. You know what I mean, where you expect him to be? Biggie should be alive. Right. I'm not one of the people who get into Puffy and Biggie conspiracies though. I don't know what happened to Biggie. I think the police killed Biggie. I think a retired police officer was hired by Suge Knight to do it. That's what the trail leads to. Tupac, on the other hand, stomped that nigga in the face, and that nigga pulled around the block and shot him. It's on camera. He was in a fight. He got killed not even a half hour later. Was it 2 hours? It was less than an hour. It was less than an hour because they left out the building. They drove around the block.
I don't know how it wasn't any cameras or any.
It was on cameras. The fight, you always see the fight on camera. Oh no, the shooting, because they didn't have cameras back like that.
Yeah, right.
Like in the streets. Right. Like you're saying, they had cameras in the hotel, you know what I'm saying?
But they didn't have cameras,
casinos and shit, but they don't have it in
the street lights or.
Nowadays, they would have caught all that shit. Big Yen, Tupac's murder, they would have caught all that shit. Nowadays.
But now.
Not saying they would have solved it, but they would have definitely had full camera, more footage than we had, because you see the biggie one, somebody had like their camcorder out, and they caught it across the street.
Damn.
Because they recognized him, and they was like, oh, that's Biggie. And then they heard the shot.
But that's crazy.
They would have caught all of that shit on the police cam.
Today's
surveillance society.
All right.
Because that's exactly what it is, surveillance.
So different now, man. Things so different.
Big Brother is taking over.
Well, that should be, you know, the last question.
That's beautiful.
Till the next interview, my friend. You know,
I love it.
Anything else you want
to? Shout out to GMV.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say. Swamp up and shit.
Yeah. Until the next time. Yeah.